You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody. This is Commander Tom Garcia, and you are listening to the USA Talk Radio Network and the American Hour. Thank you for joining us. We had a great show last night, and it was on Abraham Lincoln's prediction of this abysmal, horrible, horrific administration, and in particular, this president. So if you missed it, go back into the archives and listen to it, because that was a good show. And I'll give you real quickly a little highlight from that. Abraham Lincoln, in a speech in 1838, talked about our government, and actually the title of it was The Perpetuation of Our Political Institutions. But one of the things that he focused on was the Constitution and what it takes to be successful as a nation, which essentially is following the Constitution. Now, we know this president hates the Constitution and doesn't want to follow it and does everything he can to get around it. But in his speech, he tells us that our founders succeeded. It was an experiment. Nobody knew how it would turn out. It was a huge, massive risk, yet they succeeded. But then he goes on to say the experiment is successful and thousands have won their deathless names in making it so. But the game is caught. In other words, it's over. And I believe it is true that with the catching in the pleasures of the chase. So how do we recapture the pleasures of the chase? Well, we've got to remake our nation. We've got to redo it. It's got to be a redo. It's like that greatest Super Bowl game you ever saw. Can't ever be replayed. I mean, you can replay it and watch it. But what if you want to be in that game? Well, then you've got to make a whole new game. And that's what this president wants to do. He wants to make a whole new game. He wants to make over our nation, and not to make it better. He wants to redo it so that he can have that glory. Not going to happen. Not going to happen, Mr. Marxist president. So tonight's show is entitled The Intellectual Inferiority of the Left. Great article from American Thinker that we're going to go over. But before I do that, I'm just going to play a couple sound bites from our impressive, genius, towering genius president who is so much smarter than everybody else. He's had so much experience than everybody else. In fact, he was deeply in debt before he got elected to the U.S. Senate. And if his book had not been successful, he would have been deeper in debt. And if he hadn't been elected president, even deeper in debt. He can't even manage his own finances. But he knows so much better about how to manage your finances and your lives in this country because, well, that's what he's done in life, nothing. So let's see what he thinks about government jobs versus private sector jobs and small businesses and on and on.
Workers like you for the federal, state, and local governments are so important for our vital services. And it frustrates me sometimes when people talk about government jobs as if somehow those are worth less than private sector jobs. I think there's nothing more important than working on behalf of the American people.
Nothing more important than a government job. Nothing. He just said it. Nothing more important than a government job. You know, I worked for the government for 22 years in the United States Navy. If it weren't for you people out there, and me now as a retired officer and a citizen, there would be no need for the government. There would be no need for the military. Yet that's the most important job. You know, in ancient Rome, it became the most important job. Government jobs became the most important job because they got so far in debt, their monetary system was worth nothing, that they had to force everybody into service to the government. They ended up on a barter system. In fact, if you were a farmer or a carpenter or had a business where you sold things, you were at one point told by your own government that you can't switch jobs. If you find something that could be more profitable, you can't switch jobs. It would be akin to going AWOL in the military would be akin to desertion in the military. We will hunt you down and kill you. So you stay in the job you have, whether you can make any money and provide for your family or not. You can't switch jobs. There you go. Government jobs are the most important thing. That's according to this president. Wow. sometimes I don't even know what to say about this guy. I mean, his ideas on what is reality and what is important are so skewed and so out of touch with society today. And, we like playing the president's lies here, and we haven't played this in a while, but here's one of his famous lies.
If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period. If you've got health insurance, you like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan.
No matter what you've heard, if you like your doctor or health care plan, you can keep it. Under the reform we seek, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
We now know that's a total lie, absolute fabrication, because every company out there that has insurance, that pays for insurance, like the company that I work for a major airline, they pay $12,000 to $14,000 a year for my insurance, on top of what I pay for my insurance. But that's what they pay. It's called a benefit. But if they were to dump me into the government system, which now means I really don't have a choice, I have to go see the doctors that the government tells me to see. Do you know what their penalty is? It used to be a percentage. When they were debating the health care reform bill and coming up with different versions of it, it was going to be a percentage. And that percentage for the amount of money that I make was going to be higher than what my company already pays. Now, for the lower paid employees, they were going to dump them into the system because they would save money. But do you know what the penalty is now? It's just a flat amount, $2,000. So how does it make sense for my company, for 10,000 pilots to continue paying $12,000 to $14,000 a year for our health care insurance, when they can dump us into the government system, the great, wonderful government system that the president tells us is just absolutely wonderful where you keep your doctor, and they can save $10,000 to $12,000 a year per pilot, per 10,000 pilots. So let's just keep it real simple. $10,000, 10,000 pilots, there's $1 million right there. Every single year, my company can save by dumping us into the healthcare system. So why would they not do that? Of course they're going to do that. Of course they're going to do that. So I don't get to keep my doctor, and I don't get to keep, and the other thing he said, there was not just your doctor, but your healthcare system. Lie, lie, lie. That's all this administration is going to do from here to the election. They're going to lie, lie, lie. They've lied consistently for the last 3 years. He promised he would close Gitmo. He promised that he'd be a one-term president if he couldn't turn the economy around. He hasn't turned it around. It's always somebody else's fault, though. Unemployment will never go above 8% if you just give me the stimulus bill. And, of course, it hit 10%. So it's just been a series of lies, lies, lies. Okay. So let's talk about – well, let's do some administrative stuff here real quickly. If you're not following us on Facebook, you're missing out. You've got to go to the American Hour Show. Look for the American Hour Radio Show page on Facebook. On Twitter, put lots of good stuff out there. The American Hour. Go to The American Hour on Twitter. Well, all one, just no spaces or anything. The American Hour. You're missing out if you're not following us. And, like I said, we put a lot of good stuff out there. Last night I mentioned that Joan Flowers, our good friend Joan Flowers, and if you want to see the interview that we did with her, April 19th, go back in the archives. She just received from the Department of Defense the 4 medals that her father earned, her father, a World War II war hero, for his service in World War II. And he's buried in an unmarked grave in Chicago, and we are going to continue to work to get him to Arlington. Unfortunately, we have not found a legal way to get him there and force the government to put him there. So we're going to have to raise money, and that's coming. After, as you know, I am working on the Rick Santorum campaign as the Central Florida Regional Director, and we're just a few ways away from the election. A lot of votes have already come in from absentee ballots. That's how I did it. Early voting. We have early voting that goes through this Saturday. And then on the 31st is the actual voting day Once that's behind us, then I'll be able to work spend much more time on Joan's case. With getting her father sent to Arlington, we're just simply going to have to raise the money to do it. They will accept him in Arlington now, but the government's not going to pay for it. Let's see. That's pretty much it. Oh, no, that's not it. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be filling in for Michael Cutler on the same broadcast network, USA Network. So there are a couple ways that you can find the show tomorrow night. You can actually go to my page on the American Hour. So go to usaradionetwork.com, and the little radio block over to the right that has all the shows, since we're on the same network, you can listen to me there, or you can go to Michael Cutler's webpage on the network, and that would be go to usaradionetwork.com and click on Michael Cutler, and you'll go to his page, and it will show you a little radio player box over to the right side, usaradionetwork.com, and you can listen to me tomorrow night. We're going to be talking about immigration and the recent blow-up between Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona, and our president, Barack Hussein Obama, who has done absolutely nothing to help any of the southern states with their border issues and actually tried to block them on trying to secure their own borders. And it's an absolute fallacy that the states have no control over immigration. They have control over their borders. They are sovereign entities, sovereign states, and they can control their own borders. Not against U.S. citizens, of course, but against invasion. And that is one of the articles in the Constitution that says the federal government guarantees to each and every state protection from invasion. They're being invaded. And a good friend of mine from high school, that I've known for many, many years, is going to be talking to us tomorrow night on the show. He is a police officer in Tucson, Arizona. And he will tell us exactly what the problem is and the invasion that's going on in that southern border town, Tucson, Arizona. So don't miss the show tonight, the Michael Cutler Show, tomorrow night, 7 p.m., right here on the same network. Okay. So tonight, we're going to talk about a great article in American Thinker. It came out on January 26th. So that was what, it says today. It's not today. Today's January 26th. No, it came out on the 23rd. The Intellectual Inferiority of Liberalism by James Lewis. Liberalism used to be a respectable position for intellectual, well-meaning, and informed people. That was a long time ago. No longer. Today, the liberal faith requires an extraordinary act of ignorance, purposeful forgetting, and constant spinning. Just as I said earlier, they're going to lie, lie, lie. And as our good friend Michael Cutler, who I'm filling in for tomorrow night, says, if at first you don't succeed, lie, lie again. Now, to be a faithful liberal today, you have to forget the whole 20th century and its 100 million victims of the radical left, that is, victims of Obama's brand of liberalism. You have to shut out your mind the fact that Obama hails from today's Chicago machine, the most storied and undemocratic political machine since Boss Tweed. And I'd just like to point out that every time we find a case of voter tampering, it always turns out to be Democratic voter tampering. You never come up with any Republican voter tampering and falsifying voting records. It's always Democrat. It's always, in the last 10 years, always. Go back and Google it. Go back and look at it. It's always Democrat organizations, such as Acorn and on, that have done precisely that. He continues on. You have to ignore the bloody history of black nationalism in America, where Obama's hero, Malcolm X, was assassinated by the followers of Elijah Muhammad. Yeah. You have to ignore the racial blackmail that has controlled American politics since the rise of the post Martin Luther King's civil rights movement, when all the heroic actions of a few civil rights campaigners like Martin Luther King Jr. was taken over by dangerous racial demagogues like Reverend Al Sharpton, the Reverend Wright, Jesse Jackson, and the radical left. All those facts have to be sunk into your capacious black hole of memory, along with the history of the Soviet Union and its 100 million helpless victims. The Nazis only had 13 years to kill 6 million Jews, and even more gypsies, homosexuals, Poles, Democratic Germans, and, of course, the religious. The Soviets and the Chinese had 70 years or longer and killed correspondingly more millions of victims with the same style of sociopathic control freakery. North Korea is the biggest communist museum piece today, but nobody on the liberal side seems to take any responsibility for it, just as they deny their alliance with Muslim fascists all over the world who are agitating for another century of mass murder. As Michael Ledeen recently pointed out, the Hitler-Stalin alliance is alive today, only the names have changed. It's now the left Islamofascism, the same old murderous alliance under a new label. Well, let's take a look at that for a second. Why is it that the left embraces Islam and the Muslim world and wants to kowtow to the Muslim world? I mean, first of all, the left hates religion. They've made that clear. They're all atheist and they hate religion. Even when they are, they claim to be religious, they don't abide by any of their own religion's tenets. Why is that? It's because Islam is the one church, the one religion on the face of the earth that hates the West. And that explains it right there. The left hates the West. They hate our lifestyle. They hate the way that we live. They hate Christianity, and that's probably the biggest thing. They hate Christianity. Muhammad said it himself. He said that Christ had it right, and the Bible is all correct. It's just that Christians are interpreting it wrong. Wow. Amazing. So if you're a self-labeled liberal today, you own that history. Therefore, you must deny and evade it because you can't stand on that kind of history. After watching modern liberals for a couple decades, I've come to suspect that their viciousness, what we see in the media and the left every single day, is a result of deep and abiding guilt. Because at least the liberal leadership cannot be as ignorant as their own history as they pretend. The brainwashed masses must be completely ignorant, but nobody can be as ignorant as of history as Obama pretends to be. Obama grew up on the Stalinist left all the way from his childhood in post-bloodbath Indonesia to his adulthood in Chicago politics. Michelle is the daughter of a Chicago ward boss. Bill Ayers, their good friend and political enabler, knows all the bloody history of communism in detail and glories in it to this day. Now let's go back and talk a little bit about stolen history. My good friend Franz Cabreau. If you haven't seen our webpage and the link to his book, Stolen History, you've got to go take a look at it. But here's a little quote that he put on there that I like by, not a quote, but about Thomas Jefferson. And here's what he had to say in his blog. Apparently, the Smithsonian has decided to attack one of our greatest founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson. They merely refer to him as a slaveholder and refuse to acknowledge the truth. Thomas Jefferson was by far the one individual who set in motion the eventual demise of slavery as an institution. Without his aid and impetus, the idea of individual freedom could not have been used as a reason for their release. What's he talking about? The Declaration of Independence. He made it clear that all men are meant to be free. But he knew at the time that they could never get the slaveholding states on the side of abolishing slavery, so he planted that seed there. And even in the Constitution, Thomas Jefferson himself said that we could never get all of the states to get on board with creating this union, which is the greatest nation ever on the face of this planet. It never would have happened if we had not left slavery out of the issue. But here's what most people don't know. In his second term, Thomas Jefferson proposed to his own party and members of Congress to propose as an amendment and vote on it as an amendment to the Constitution to abolish slavery. Thomas Jefferson asked his party and proposed to them in a presidential decree, abolish slavery, write an amendment to the Constitution to abolish it. Unfortunately, by his second term, he did not have the same kind of power that he had with his own party, let alone Congress, that he had in his first term. And it went nowhere. They would not take it and go with it. But how many people have told you that? That Thomas Jefferson proposed an amendment to the Constitution to abolish slavery in his second term. Now, why did he not do it in his first term? He was only the third president of the United States of America. And he knew. He knew that it was a very delicate situation, a very delicate issue, and he didn't want to break up the states. We already had numerous issues. His former vice president, Aaron Burr, trying to cause states the North, and then later on in the Louisiana territories, to secede from the nation and create their own government. By his second term, he realized he was running out of time, so that's when he decided to do it. But he understood it was still a fragile government. So he thought he could control things and would have more power ultimately in his second term, but that's not the way it worked out. But if you want to find out more about the history of our nation, including the Democrat Party's assault on slavery, and when I say assault on slavery, like trying to keep slavery, an assault on civil rights, you have got to read Frantz's book, Stolen History. It lays it all out. Frantz was a Democrat at one time. When Frantz decided to look into black history and look at the actual history of what occurred in our nation, he quickly found that the Democrat Party is the history of slavery and anti-civil rights. And he became a staunch conservative after that. He's also a naval aviator like myself. He's a smart guy, and I've known him for a long time. So please go, you can look it up. You can go to FrantzCabreau.com. That's spelled FrantzCabreau. You can also go to our website at USAradionetwork.com, and there is a link on the homepage to his site. All right, so there you have the intellectual inferiority of the left. Oh, we're not done, though. That's just a slice of the pie. These people cannot be ignorant. These lefty liptards cannot be ignorant of the 20th century. A deep guilt has been gnawing at liberals today, the ones who are not innate sociopaths. When media creatures like Bill Maher peddle hatred disguised as humor, there are only two possibilities. Either Maher is ultimately cynical and therefore a sociopath, in other words, a person without conscience, which I believe he is, a person without conscience, or he and his cult manage every single day to stave off the moral implications of their heroes, Karl Marx, but also intellectual Nazis like Martin Heidegger, by raging at the rest of us. They are deeply troubled people. And they can only live with themselves by ranting at good, decent, normal people. Michael Moore has to think of new and more vicious slander to throw at us to keep us down, to keep down his own knowledge of irredeemable guilt. Yeah, speak of Michael Moore. What a lying sack of you-know-what. I mean, he's just the biggest lying sack of crap. It's a crap stain on the sidewalk of life. He lies in every single movie he produces. He lies in every statement he makes. And by the way, he's a big, fat slob. He's a big, fat slob. Now, can a big, fat slob be a smart person? Oh, of course. But he's not only an idiot and a libtard, but he's a big, fat slob on top of it. Okay. There is no moral difference between the radical left and the Nazis, and they must know that elementary fact from Politics 101. Which brings me back to my title. Liberalism used to mean the love of political freedom. Real liberals used to read Locke, Mill, Voltaire, the founders, the political wisdom of Western Enlightenment. Today, self-labeled liberals love mass murderers and those who justify mass murder. Karl Marx, the postmodern philosophers, the totalitarian left, Thomas Friedman, the New York Times, and Islamic fascism, like any utopian cult, these pseudo-liberals justify it all, not by the honors of the past, which cannot be justified at all, but by some dream image of the future. The next time they'll get it right. Yeah, this time we'll get it right. Communism works. You just have to do it right. Because they have good intentions, you see. Just like Bill Beckel the other day said, you can't judge us based on our successes. You have to judge us on our intentions. Wow. Yeah, your intentions are socialism, Marxism, communism, and it never works. It's all for the good of the great and the majority and the whole. It's utopian by nature. But it never works. But they keep on banging their heads against the wall saying, this time it'll work. What's the definition of insanity? Repeatedly trying the same thing over and over that just keeps failing. Obama helped bring down the relatively moderate regimes of the Arab world and thereby unleashed a new dark age reaction from Yemen to Tunisia. Tens of thousands of people have been killed in the sadistically mislabeled Arab Spring. It's not an Arab Spring at all. Look what's going on. the Islamic extremists have 75% of the Congress, or whatever they're calling it there in Egypt now, the parliament. 75% Islamic extremists, Muslim Brotherhood. Wow, that's an Arab Spring. Oh, yeah, that's a revolution. This is democracy. This is the face of democracy. Killing Christians and real Democrats. Yeah, that's just great. The Arab Spring is the real Nakba, not just because tens of thousands of Arabs are being killed every day in Syria, Egypt, Yemen, Somalia, and elsewhere, but also because the Arab world is living in daily dread of Iranian nuclear weapons. The Saudis have no greater enemies than the militant Shiite regime of Iran. Ayatollah Khomeini hated the Saudi Sunnis and tried to overthrow them as usurpers of the holy places of Mecca and Medina. Every Sunni Muslim in the world knows that history. The Arab Spring, so-called, has therefore exposed all the stable Arab regimes to lethal danger. You might not like some of those regimes, but I guarantee you they're only going to get worse. That's why Niall Ferguson, the Harvard historian, recently warned that capital flight from the Arab world meant an inevitable breakdown of the economies of Egypt and Syria. People are beginning to suffer from starvation and civil breakdown of the Arab world. That is why the Prime Minister of Egypt broke down in tears at a recent press conference. Obama hasn't done real Muslims any favor with all the hoopla about a non-existent Arab Spring. Instead, he has forged another alliance between the atheist left and the medieval Muslims of Iran, Turkey, and the Arab world. That is what liberalism has come to mean. It is the polar opposite of real liberalism. JFK, Hubert Humphrey, and even LBJ and FDR would be running against Obama if they were living today. As Obama reportedly told Hillary in a yelling, screaming fight at the White House, when he reportedly demanded in public that President Hosni Mubarak must step down, it was all for a good cause, because all real revolutions are organic. The president of arugula does not know much about organic. But in this case, it seems to mean that the Muslim fascists, who are even now beating and bloodying half a billion women and girls in their homes to keep them voting rock solid for the Muslim Brotherhood, yep, they're organic. They are real. Islamic moderates and modernists who brought a century of near democracy to Turkey and Iran are just foreign infections, according to Obama's perverse reading of history. This is an ideological madness. It is not empathy, as Obama told a self-satisfied room of, get this, San Francisco liberals at the beginning of his 2008 campaign. It's sadism, if anything. Only a third world ideologue of the Jerry Wright variety. He spent 20 years in a racist chapel, listening to the spews of an absolute racist. This is modern-day Ku Klux Klan. Reverend Wright's church is the modern-day version of the Ku Klux Klan. And that's the church that Obama attended for 20 years. 20 years. Oh, but he didn't know anything about it. Oh, no, he distanced himself from Reverend Wright. How do you distance yourself from somebody that you sat in their church for 20 years? Go online and Google required reading for the Reverend Wright congregation. None of it is Christian literature. It's all racist and anti-democracy, anti-liberal, or anti-liberty propaganda. None of it has anything to do with Christianity. The other thing is this black liberation theology that Reverend Wright, when he was interviewed by Sean Hannity, and acted all dignity, and I could understand why Sean wouldn't even know. He's like, you have no idea what it is. I went and read the book, written by the guy who wrote the book on black liberation theology. It's based on liberation theology from the Caribbean and Latin American countries, where the thought was to go in and alter Christianity and the Bible in a way that would generate a revolution from the masses. It's an abomination to the Bible. It's an abomination to Christianity, and Reverend Wright's church is an abomination to Christianity, an absolute abomination to Christianity. And that's the church that Barack Obama attended for 20 years. If you're a liberal today, somehow you've ended up on the wrong side of history. That is a vast cultural disaster, but much more for victim nations than it is for the self-preening West. Twisting liberalism into a pretzel is a feat of miseducation and propaganda, the likes of which we have not seen since the rise of mass electronic media. Most liberals today do not believe in freedom, but support tyranny. That inversion of history has been accomplished by mass propaganda. If you doubt it, just ask your nearest liberal friend what they think about fundamentalist Christians. It's a hot button that will set out a flood of rage, and all due to the left-wing media propaganda. Just try it on your family and friends. It shocks me every time I see it, because it has absolutely no basis in reality. Liberal hatred of believing Christians comes to you courtesy of the mass fantasy machine. American abolitionism, which led to the Civil War, was created by believing Christians. Just listen to the words of the battle hymn of the Republic. I see smart and educated people cling to a wrecked belief system, like the Italian tourist ship that just flipped on its side. The general liberalism of Harry Truman, JFK, Walter Lippmann is dead as a doornail. Instead, we have the left radicalism of Obama, who grew up on the hard, hard Stalinist left. Obama is called a liberal, but he is an authoritarian, anti-constitutionalist with major totalitarian tendencies. Obama is certainly not a Cold War liberal like JFK. If the Cold War were raging today, Obama would be pro-Soviet. And we had people back then that were just like that. We do not have a real civil rights movement anymore. We had a civil revenge movement, as the great comic talk radio host Ken Hamblin has said so well. Hamblin made the Black Avenger his standing joke, along with his free certificate of abolition for any whites obsessed with racial guilt from the Civil War. The Civil War is 150 years old. The civil rights laws were passed in the 1960s, and by the way, not with the help of the Democrat Party. It took years since the late 1800s to pass civil rights laws. Republicans were always proposing civil rights laws, and the Democrat Party was always shooting them down. It wasn't until LBJ got some of the folks on his party, and every single Republican, not all Democrats, but every single Republican voted for it, and some Democrats just enough to get a majority to pass the civil rights legislation of the 1960s. Today, the Axelrod mob of the Occupy Wall Street movement are totally ignorant, like the peasants in Tsarist Russia. They just riot because they're told to. Just ask them a question, any question about politics or reality. They don't know a thing because they are kept dumb and obedient. They're an educated ignorami. Liberalism is dead. The radical left has killed it. Then the left stole its good name. So liberalism is dead. But the radical left, the nut jobs, have stole it. And now they call themselves liberals, but in fact, they are not. We don't have many liberals left. The New Republic is fighting a rearguard action, and there are few genuine liberals of goodwill who keep hoping the Democrat Party will change. Fat chance. The liberals today are the wishful totalitarians of yesterday. Obama's not a liberal. We have no liberals in positions of power or prominence anymore. Anytime the radical power class uses the word liberal, the same people of this country should scream at their computer screens. Don't fall for it. It's a lie. All right. And there you have it. The intellectual inferiority of the left. They are. They're just plain stupid. Absolutely plain stupid. They cling to something that they don't even know what they're talking about. So that's our show for today. Thanks for listening in. I'll be on the Michael Cutler Show tomorrow night, and we'll be talking about immigration, Arizona, and we will have my good friend, who will remain nameless, an active police officer and senior detective in Tucson, Arizona, talking to us about immigration and border problems, et cetera, that this president wants to just simply ignore. So hopefully you'll join us tomorrow night on the Michael Cutler Show. Same web address as you came to tonight. Download it after the fact, whatever. But tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern, and then, of course, we'll be back next week, Wednesday and Thursday, as usual. And I expect Paula, my lovely co-host, will be joining me next week, and we'll have some lively debate next week. But tomorrow night, 7 p.m., and if you're on the fence, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is the true conservative. He's a social conservative. He's going to drive the libtards nuts. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter what his voting record is. I can debate you all day long. This vote, that vote. He is the real deal. He is a true conservative, and he will follow the Constitution, and that's why I support Rick Santorum for president. Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night on the Michael Cutler Show, 7 p.m. Eastern.
You're listening to the American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.